Blaze, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tess.
So, as I said, there's been quite a lot of criticism of both the NAPLAN testing and the HSC in the format that it's currently in. What is your take on the way that things are running at the moment?
Well, no one likes nationalised tests. People in general don't like doing exams. There's something wrong with you if you like doing exams. Teachers don't like administering them, and so on. So, I mean, we can all see why people don't like these standard exams. But at the end of the day, they are necessary, because if, unless you have standardised high-stakes exams like in the HSC or exams throughout schools, such as in NAPLAN, you can't actually see how our school system is performing. And kids don't get a guarantee that their quality of education is good enough to go to university. So that's why, while no one likes tests, things like NAPLAN and HSC are absolutely necessary.
And so, focusing on NAPLAN to begin with, do you think that these criticisms of the practicality and effectiveness of NAPLAN, are these recent or have these been going on for quite a while?
Well, there have been criticisms of NAPLAN since it first started, especially since the NAPLAN results started getting published on the MySchool website starting from 2008. So it has been controversial for a while. I think probably one of the main misunderstandings about NAPLAN is that a lot of people think it's a high-stakes test, whereas in reality, it's for the individual students. There's no punishment if they don't perform well, and on the school level, they don't get any less funding or anything like that if they don't perform well. The importance of NAPLAN is that it allows us as a country to see how we're going and see if, for example, our literacy or our numeracy or spelling or writing or whatever it may be isn't good enough and we need to improve. And also on the individual school level, it allows them to identify the students who aren't performing as well as they should be and to try to intervene and help them. So NAPLAN does serve quite a few good purposes, but you're right, it has certainly become more and more controversial over the years.
And now one argument that I've heard raised is that disappointing NAPLAN results are the outcome of poor attendance. What would you make of that?
Well, I mean, that's certainly true. I mean, if students don't attend, then they're not going to perform well. I mean, if they don't attend class, then they're not going to perform well. They absolutely need to attend class consistently to do well on something like that. But also, in terms of the students actually taking the test, there's been a slight increase in the number of students who aren't actually sitting the test, but nevertheless, it's still way above 90% of students. So it still provides a really good picture for almost all students in Australia to see how they're going, on both on an individualised level so that they can be helped if they need to be helped, and also on a countrywide level so we can see how we're going. And of course, the concerning thing about this year's NAPLAN results was that there was no significant improvement compared to last year's NAPLAN results, even though there was a massive increase in school funding. So there are certainly a lot of questions to be asked as to why that is. And in regards to one particular area, in the area of writing, we actually went backwards since last year. So the NAPLAN results are a bit concerning. Probably, and honestly, the results of NAPLAN are probably what we should be concerned about more so than the process or the admin around it.
And so I guess if we were to either change or scrap NAPLAN entirely, what would an alternative look like?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there hasn't really been a comprehensive alternative put forward. I mean, most countries around the world will have some form of standardised test like this throughout the year. Because the thing is, different schools will write different tests, and so you can't really compare them. So you can't tell, you can't say a specific student isn't performing well based on a individual school test. You really need to have a standardised test across the whole country to be able to see how students are going, so that you've got an objective basis to see how the performance is. So that's the thing about NAPLAN. I mean, there just hasn't been an alternative proposed to it.
And so taking a look now, I guess, at the HSC, one of the major criticisms Greg Whitby did come out with was that only 20% of students do end up using their ATAR to get into university. You know, I mean, having a big test at the end of a school, sort of, you know, completing your Year 12 certificate, is that something that perhaps we should have less focus on, the getting into university part of it?
Oh, that's a very good question. So the 20% figure, the idea that 20% of students use their ATAR to get into university, that's a bit misleading because you need to take into account the fact that lots of degrees just require a lower ATAR than what's actually advertised, but then students still end up getting into it anyway. And then there's a few other complications around that. So, I mean, the truth is, I mean, most students who end up going to university have used, require an ATAR to get there in the first place, even if their specific ATAR, it didn't need to be as high as they ended up actually having. But, I mean, I suppose the broader point, though, is about having a really high-stakes test in Year 11 and Year 12, like the HSC. Is that still necessary? And some people have been suggesting that it's not necessary and that you can do other programs like the International Baccalaureate program or various other programs. But the thing is, if you want to go to university, you need to have proved in Year 11 and Year 12 that you've got the skills necessary. So you can't go straight into physics in university unless you've proven using in a standardized test that you've got the skills necessary and you've got the knowledge necessary for someone who's leaving Year 12. So there really isn't a way around it. You do need something like the HSC, similar to NAPLAN, you need something like it. Even if there might be some criticisms of the current program, at the end of the day, we do need a test like the HSC.
And just before I do let you go, Blaise, I'm going to ask you the same question I did ask about NAPLAN. I mean, if we were to, I mean, I guess you can't really scrap the HSC in this situation, but if we were to change it, what would that look like on a practical level?
Well, there's a few alternatives. So, for example, in the ACT, they spread out the marks across both Year 11 and Year 12, so there's a lot less pressure on students in Year 12. So that's one option. So there's no particular reason why it needs to be all focused on these massive exams in Year 12 where everyone freaks out. You could potentially have an alternative model where it's based on exams across the two-year period, across Year 11 and Year 12. And that also has the added benefit of sort of helping students to be more focused on their studies earlier on in their schooling. So that's one alternative. I guess another alternative is, I suppose some people have suggested, is having online courses. But the difficulty with that is that there is a big value in face-to-face learning. And if you miss out on the face-to-face learning, it's just not the same. So while online courses are becoming more popular in university and so on, at a school level, it's very hard to see that taking over something like the HSC.
Well, Blaise, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Great. Thanks very much, Tess.